Hello, this is Sahar. I hope you enjoy listening to this podcast.
Angela, it seems to me that things are changing. They're changing fast. It's almost like not just the moon, but it's like the past has been dredged up, what we need to work on, our challenges. And I think many of us forget that as human beings, we have a makeup. We are basically energy beings. But this is not new to you because you've always been sensitive. And in fact, you felt the sensitivity of energy since you were 4 years old. Is that right?
Yes, it is. Yeah. All my school years, I felt exhausted by the energy probably of everybody else. But my biggest memory is feeling tired all the time, running out of energy.
Yes.
I didn't know I was being so affected by everyone else.
That's amazing. And especially if you can feel their pain. What was that like? Hi, Bridie.
Well, that's a very interesting idea. I don't just feel everybody's pain in the world. I only feel people's pain when they're transmitting, i.e. their body wants to get some help. And because I'm a receiver or a barometer, I pick that up.
So it isn't what we might think. It isn't like telepathy that you pick up their thoughts. It's actually their bodies are transmitting that energy.
Exactly.
Oh, how amazing. That's fascinating.
Yeah. So often it can happen when the head of somebody doesn't even know that they want to choose to get some help. But the body always... Oh, yeah, yeah. The body knows way before the mind.
Wow. What sort of things should we look for if our body needs help and we're unaware, as most of us are?
Well, there are quite a lot of people who don't know how to feel into their body. So I try and always talk about really, really basic stuff, like when you get in the bath or the shower, to rub your whole body with a flannel, because that gives you traction through the deeper layers of the skin. And what happens is you are then made aware of tender spots, as we think they are. And what they actually are is probably pressure points that are starting to block. So meridians may not be flowing clearly.
Interesting. So it's almost like when you do reflexology, you look out for the tender points. And
yes,
you're saying when we have a bath, we could do the same and feel a little bit under the skin if there are any
tender
areas.
Absolutely. Gosh. Once a week, say, allow longer and have a maintenance session where you work methodically all the way through the body and you check what tender points you have. When you feel a lot of energy or you absorb it like an energetic sponge, that's quite a good plan to do. So you clear everything down once a week.
Do you use salt, or it isn't necessary to cleanse the energy?
No, especially if I've seen somebody for the first time and there's a massive exchange of energy going on, I need to get in a salt bath after that.
Okay.
So I guess it depends where you've been.
Okay. I really am interested in your journey, because you started with not knowing that you were highly sensitive, or perhaps even like most of us, not being encouraged to develop the certain sensitivity that you have as an ability. But
yeah,
somehow you also started working with the body. And the point that I want to put across is that people forget we are souls in physical bodies, and how the physical body is really the first port of call. Do you
Absolutely.
Agree?
Oh, yes, yes. It's how we are here. It's how the soul can do what it needs to do. Without the body, it would be completely pointless. So, yes, I started having a keen interest in biology at school, human biology. I pursued that even after school by myself. And then I started exploring nutrition when I was only about 17, getting involved in acid alkali. What was that all about? Because to me, something said it was really obvious and I needed to know this. And then I got into working about 2 years later on looking at the lymphatic system. And why that's interesting is because it's like a bucket for the emotions that get stuck in the body. I didn't know that then, but I was already working stuff out in a sort of reverse way.
Wow. But that's too young. You've really started early. Did it seem strange to you, or did it seem second nature?
It seems second nature. Always,
yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
I think because I always had this compassion about how everybody feels, whatever age they are, I just seemed to know what they felt. And even they didn't have to talk to me about it. I just knew.
Is that what your book is about?
No, the book really, the first part is explaining in a non-sensationalist way some of the things that I went through so that mm-hmm. you can understand the cause and effect. So massive amounts of stress and how that depleted the body. But then I write about what I went on to do about it. And so I'm encouraging people to think for themselves because, as I always say, nobody knows your body like you. Nobody yes. knows how your body feels except you. So you have to start listening. And when you do, and you know, it becomes like a monitor running in the background, it can become more enjoyable. So why not do that? Why go running off all the time to somebody else to ask them what's wrong with your body? It doesn't make Absolutely. Sense to me.
I think it's also more empowering if you're in touch with your own body and you're able to guide it. Maybe yeah. it's not as complicated as people think it is.
No, it's Maybe not. It's not. Yeah, one of the best ways, we have these eyes which give us too much visual stimulus all the time. It's alluring, it's exciting, and it's distracting. So when you go to bed at night and you switch off the light, then you can start listening to what your body's trying to tell you. I bet you know a time when you've woken up in the night and you start to notice all these things your body's trying to tell you, or your subconscious even. But this is the best time to listen.
It's almost like when you're awakened, you know, it's either too cold or too hot, or you want a drink of water. It's really the body that wakes you up because you're yes. you're fast asleep, and it kind of says, "Hey, knock knock, I need attention." Is
exactly.
it somewhat like you know, when you say today I feel like having broccoli, or tomorrow I feel like mushrooms with an omelet or something? It
yes.
can be a very subtle sensation, can't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the body tells you when it's short of something, when it's depleted in something. So these cravings or things you're drawn to are just telling you, hey, I need some of this right now.
And tell me a little bit about the alkali acid thing, because we are walking batteries, aren't we?
Yes, yes. One of the things that has always interested me is people go banging on about doing detoxes and trying to become more alkaline, but that acid alkali balance is actually very finely tuned. And if we push too much in one direction, we're not necessarily
doing ourselves
a favor. Yeah. And what people don't realize is that when you work out what your metabolic type is, you may naturally be more alkaline, for instance, a parasympathetic dominant. That's a part of the nervous system. Or you may be more naturally more acid if you're sympathetic dominant. Now, that's your cellular makeup. So if you are one and you are trying to be the other, that's not normal for you, and you won't feel your best in that way. So you have to find a balance so you can have a functioning norm as well as a cellular norm, and they're not necessarily the same.
How can we figure out what type we are?
Well, an easy way is citrus fruits are alkaline producing in the body. So if you try, for instance, some fresh orange and then wait for 20 minutes and see how you feel after that, does it make you feel better or worse?
Oh, really?
The opposite of that is to have something very acidic, like, for instance, meat. I can't think of a vegetarian version of something that's acidic, unless perhaps asparagus or cauliflower. They are high purine, though. It's not quite the same. But then you wait. Do you feel better or worse? It's a bit
when
you go to get your eyes tested. Yeah. And so people can be really ill and they have a little bit of what they need and suddenly they start to perk up.
Oh, wow. So if you feel better, then that's the right thing for you, basically. And
yes.
not push yourself to go the other way around. I remember
yes.
I have a cousin in Jordan, and she's always been, you know, drinking. She dropped coffee, tea. She drinks green tea, like, all the time. And then, you know, our doctor in Jordan, my mom's doctor in Jordan, actually said, don't have too much green tea because you could be releasing a lot of toxins, more than your body can deal with.
Yeah, exactly.
I found that surprising. You know, like, don't go overboard in detoxing because actually you could be unleashing quite a lot more than the body can deal with.
Yeah, the best way to detox is not in spurts twice a year, in actual fact. For some people, it's far better to do it gradually all the time. By moderation, by taking bitter tinctures. Swedish bitters are great. But, you know, plants like dandelions and so on, wonderful to support the liver. I had a lady come and see me, and she complained of long-term digestion that wasn't effective. Mm-hmm. And I said, so what are you doing then? She said, oh, I go and buy a bag of lemons every week, and I'm always having lemon juice. I said, well, what does that tell you? I said, lemon juice produces alkaline in the body. I said, you keep stopping your digestion. So when your food gets to your gut, it doesn't have the necessary consistency to assimilate properly. I said, so your energy is probably reduced too. I saw her a couple of weeks later, I saw her, and she said, I binned the lemons and I feel so much better.
Amazing. Wow. That reminds me of another friend who's always drinking lemon and warm water like all day, all night. So actually, we could be damaging the chemistry of our body.
Yeah, too much of anything is not the right way. You have to be able to listen to each message and not keep driving the show with the head. Too much head stuff is not good.
Yeah.
And as you know, the concept these days is to educate oneself. But the trouble is, because people don't want to learn a whole raft of information, they grasp little bits and they try and do that too much.
Yes, yes. Little knowledge can be very dangerous.
Yes.
If you take it in isolation. Yeah, yes. You and I were talking before the live show, we were talking yesterday, and we were saying that it's quite important to have a holistic view of one's life, of one's body, of one's life path. And it seems to me that you have such extensive experience, not only the knowledge of the physical body, because, you know, you've been absolutely helpful to me when my husband passed away and in my grieving, you said, Sahar, touch this point, touch that point, and you sent me a picture. And wow, what a difference that made. It really helped me that week, you know, right after he passed away.
Yeah.
Is that something you sense, you feel?
Yes, because I have this intrinsic knowing of how important it is to keep the energy flowing, because I just know from all my observing, I'm an investigator, so I'm always observing and feeling. So I know how it can throw you out and disturb your whole life by not having that balance.
So when a client comes to see you, you kind of sense your way through their map?
Yes. I'm generally, my eyes are drawn to one particular place, and usually that's the place where the key is to unlock everything there. But I listen to their story and I encounter different messages within the body. So it's not just one place, but the interesting thing is I have to slide in gently beneath all the head talk. And when they relax, that's when the body will open up. But many times I'll just put my hands on their feet and all these messages rush out of the body to greet me as if to say, oh, thank goodness for that. We've been waiting for somebody to tell this stuff for ages.
Really? That's fantastic. That's amazing. So whatever the issue is, it could lurk around as a cellular memory or as a pocket of energy that has not been processed or integrated. And then you're drawn to it. And you basically communicate with it.
Yes.
Fascinating stuff. And how would you release it? Or how does the client release it? Or how does the remedy happen?
I can just put my hands on that point, just very lightly, and it just rushes through me. Sometimes the client feels the energy move. Most often they don't. But I try and encourage them to learn how to feel, so that they can take this away and know how to deal with it themselves in future.
Could they be talking about something and then something else is happening? Like, would the body tell you something that they're not talking about?
Absolutely, yes.
Really?
They usually talk about symptoms and how things become manifest, whereas I'm looking for the reason that came about in the first place.
So what you're saying is that our body knows what the priorities are, which may not be what we think they are.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, the mind thinks in mainstream materialistic world way, but the body simply wants to get over the root cause and have shut of the problem.
What are the vulnerable parts of the body, or is everyone different?
No, down on the left side of the abdomen is usually the place where left side relates to subconscious, but it's usually the place where we hold the deepest issues that have affected us emotionally the most. So I'll always check there. There are a few people where they don't stash emotions in that way, and then it's hidden somewhere else cleverly in the body. For instance, under the Achilles tendon. And so I might check there as well. But if they are a very mental person, I'll ask them what persistent pains they've had in a particular place. For instance, the shoulder pain might relate to small intestine issues.
So the left shoulder relates to what?
Small intestine.
Oh, really?
So imagine we have a planetary arrangement that is bringing up a lot of old issues. Those issues create anxiety in the individual, which disturb the natural functioning of the intestine. That creates the pain in the shoulder.
Wow.
So you see how everything affects everything else.
So it's like all the organs basically are, you know, kind of like, again, reflexology, or you can feel all the organs are connected. I mean, I know I'm trying to build up an idea here, but I want to say that it's not just the small intestine. Something else could be going on, and it's reflected in the shoulder. And to make that connection between the shoulder and the small intestine is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
But is it about releasing, though, because it's a small intestine?
It is about releasing the anxiety. So you have to look at what's creating the fear. And then once you release that, then the anxiety subsides, and then the shoulder problem goes.
What creates fear? Because it's probably the oldest emotion that most of us suffer from. What I want to ask is, would you kind of be able to tell or sense if this is on a soul level? Like, has this been an issue through many lifetimes? Or is it to do with now? Or is it to do because the person stresses mentally? How do you discern, like, what you're dealing with energy? Which energy?
Where it is in the body. For instance, fears or grief may often reside in the chest. Anxiety and perhaps ancestral stuff can be in the gut.
Oh, gosh.
You can have issues about processing the truth in the kidneys. There's a lot of emotional processing that goes on in the spleen, which is under the left side of the ribs. So if somebody's not coping with what they're trying to deal with in day-to-day life, the spleen can become agitated or inflamed.
What about the liver?
Liver can hold a lot of anger or rage, and the gallbladder. So the gallbladder often works in opposition to the heart meridian, and they can throw each other out to some degree. But you can have a gallbladder imbalance for years and years. And of course, as you know, it's quite an easy operation to take that out nowadays. But it doesn't take away the issue.
Wow. So then how do we process that issue? Or how would you work, for example, with a client? They come in, they have symptoms, and then you touch them, or you sense as they talk what the issue is and which part of the body, is that right?
And then sometimes it's not clear cut. Sometimes they maybe have not presented with many symptoms, and it takes quite a bit of digging and maybe a couple of sessions for them to get to the point where you can access the emotion. Mm-hmm. So then it's more about them being willing to work with this, willing to dig it up, because sometimes they don't want to. And this is why I never push. I never say you need X amount of appointments. I just say, come when you're ready.
You know, so that the body can open up, and then the issue will unfold.
I had a lady a few weeks ago, and I'd never met her before, but a mutual friend had recommended her, and she was very wary about coming. She was a very nervous, anxious woman. And she came only because she had this massive right shoulder problem, and she was a violinist.
Wow.
So what happened was, you see, in order for her to do what gave her joy, which is play the violin, she had to get her shoulder fixed. But she only allowed me 1 hour, because she said, I'm only paying you this much, you have this much time, and then I'm out of here.
Wow.
So I had to work very cleverly to actually get behind her mindset. And it was only in the last 5 minutes that I released something and her arm lifted up because she'd been keeping it clamped to the side so tightly to hold in her fears. And I released it and she cried and laughed at the same time because she felt such
amazing relief. She must have been relieved.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing.
But, you know, and then she ran away and she was, well, presumably okay because I haven't heard from her since. But it was just so funny. I felt for her, but... This yeah. is the grip of the mind.
Yes, yes, yes. Because we think we can control stuff yes. through our yes. mind instead of actually working with the body.
Absolutely.
But that's not all you do. You kind of...
No.
I like what you said somewhere on your website, that you're a spiritual navigator. So can you tell us how you can help people navigate through their life?
Well, because I'm a curious type, I would look at many aspects of life and try and work out what this life is about. And, you know, nobody gives you a map. And I was just thinking, how the hell are you supposed to know where you're going or what you're here for? And it took many years to come across. First of all, I came across human design, which I loved. Mm-hmm. And I've been studying that for 19 years. And that gives you information about the vehicle, that is the body, how it functions mm-hmm. in the world, because mm-hmm. we're not all the same.
No, we're not.
And then it was about 2015, I woke up one day and I'd been given the name of Soul Plan, which was another offshoot of Soul Contract Reading.
That's amazing.
I didn't know what it was at the time, but never heard of it. So I started to find out, had a reading, learned more, did the training. And then I did the Soul Contract Training. And why that registers with me so much is because I'm very sound orientated. Since I was young, I remember thinking names have importance. I can feel that person's name. So sometimes names are appropriate for people and sometimes they are not.
That's amazing.
What this system taught me was that we have a different set of vibrations each mm-hmm. to work through. That's what creates our life.
Yes, yes. We have a unique vibration, a unique voice even, a unique signature. So that I can resonate with. So the yeah. soul plan is based on your name, on the yes. sound of your name.
Yes. The set of frequencies that you have chosen for your life because they attract your lessons and your experiences.
Right. So what, for example, what happens if someone... Because we don't choose our names when we are born. But what happens if you're born with a name that you don't resonate with?
Well, we do choose our names, actually. We sign the deal and say, this is what I want to work on in this lifetime. So sometimes we choose a pretty hard set of vibrations, a very restrictive or limiting set of vibrations. My oldest son did. And when he was 9, he said to me, Mom, I don't like my name. Can I change it? And I said, okay, I hear you, son. Because
wonderful.
already I knew it was important and I've been planning to change mine. So when he was 11 and he was going to change schools, he changed all of his name. And all was going well until his little brother went to the same school and told everybody. And then he was hugely humiliated. But it has actually softened off the life that he's got.
Amazing.
And I've changed mine a couple of times, and what it's done, it's helped me to break through some big karmic lessons.
That's amazing.
The main karmic lessons that we have is it's about trust, power, and love. Everything boils down to those three things.
Power, love, and?
Trust.
Trust. Angela, yeah. we have a question from a viewer, from Stelina. What can we do to develop a better vibration? So basically, you're saying the name, we could work with the name.
Yeah, yeah, we can optimize the name. So what we do is we look at what the patterns are that your soul's been working through already. And you can see that in different relationships. And you can see what your soul is trying to achieve through certain relationships. So which karmic elements it's trying to break through or to remedy. And if you've got to a point where you think, okay, I've done that now, I don't want to do that anymore, that was too hard, can I change it now? Well, yes, you can optimize your name. And we spend some time thinking about what you want to change it to, because you have to work out what you want to bring into your life.
So is it changing it completely to a different name? Because this is not based on alphabet. It's based on phonetics, what your name sounds like, right?
It's based on the ancient Hebrew alphabet, one of the five sacred languages. And there's only 22 characters in that. So some letters may have the same numbers. Certain other letters, about four letters or something like that, attributed to them. But what we do is you can just tweak the spelling and keep the same names. Okay. And that will give you a slightly different vibration. It depends how many energies you want to change.
Hmm.
So for me, I changed the middle name.
Okay.
Yeah.
So presumably you run like probabilities or a permutation. If I keep my middle name, my last name, my maiden name, my married name, and then you see what energies these combinations represent, and then you're able to put a recommendation forward. Is that right?
Yes. As a rule of thumb, the shorter the name is, the narrower the energies. So you have fewer energies to work with. If you have a longer name, the more vowels you have in there, for instance, that tends to bring in very many more different energies. This is
so
why you have to sit.
You'll have a wider bandwidth.
Yes.
Is it better to have a longer name?
Or
not necessarily?
Depends.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah.
In some cases, it can make you a jack of all trades. I.e., you might spread your energies too thin. It depends, I guess, how you are mentally, what you choose in life. So if you're very business focused, you might want a few strong energies because you want to focus on a certain aspect of life.
Right. Right. A viewer is asking, my name is Elena. What should I do, for example? I think Elena alone is not enough. Would you like to address that?
She would have to give the whole name.
So the name that you are born with, for example,
the
name that you are known by, presumably.
The name on the birth certificate.
On the birth certificate, okay.
Yeah.
Only the name on the birth certificate, not what people know you as.
Well, they would both be different, you see.
Yeah.
For instance, many of us in this country, a lot of people are born and they register three names and then they don't use the middle name.
She's really giving you her full name. Okay, I don't know. Maybe we can demonstrate. Do you mind, Angela? Do you feel like doing this?
Yeah.
So that's Stelina, that's your name on the birth certificate. Elena Francesca Laspina. I guess
right.
It's a yes.
Now, I'm assuming that Elena is Italian. So
yes.
I'll have to wing it a bit on the phonetics here. So I'm just doing a quick phonetic tweak here.
Yeah, I suppose that would be Francesca, wouldn't it be?
No, it's even, I'll have to put CH. Right. So I would say, Elena, let's anticipate I've got the phonetics right for you here. I would say that you have issues of power. So you may have had your power taken away or you gave it away when you were young. And your main lesson now is to get it back and to use it with integrity.
Wow. Does that make sense, Talina? Let us know. Thank you for doing that, Angela.
That's okay.
But you were also trying, you were kind of using me as an experimental case. And we were trying to sort out my name vibration with the business, even with the email address. So you can really go a lot deeper with your clients. You know, you can involve business decisions. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Yes. What needs to be done then is your soul chooses the purpose of your business. Okay. So your soul would also know what that name should be to create the energy of your life's work. Hmm. Now, what we have to do is, first of all, get the name of the business right, and then make sure that your own name is aligned with that business name. And that's about five different layers.
So oh, that's great. Well, Stella agrees. Yeah. She says, thank you very much. We were talking about aligning your name, your vibration with your business.
There are certain key energies that always do well. For instance, names that give you a sense of trust and love, that you are going to provide what they need from you. So yeah, the energy of the business name is really important, and you can do a lot with it. So if you have a coaching business, for instance, you wish to use a reflector type, then that can be a bit tough for some in some ways, like hearing the truth that they may not want to hear people come to you for.
Please continue. So we're talking, for everyone who's joining us, we're talking about the soul, we're talking about the physical body being the first port of call. We're talking about Angela's journey, that she was born with this extra sensitivity, that she could feel the vibrations of the body, she could sense the pain of someone, and now she has developed it into her practice. She has incorporated so many disciplines, and now she can sense what the body is yearning to let go of. Does that accurately describe what we've discussed so far?
Yes. But let me talk about another aspect, which is resilience. Yeah. The point of looking after our bodies is to become, it ties in very closely with emotional resilience. So if you are seeking emotional resilience, then that's where the soul contract stuff can come in to help you to understand why your journey is coming out this way and help you to work with that. Because if you are not resilient, you're always going to be affected by energies and such like, and your path will not be easy. It'll be up and down.
Okay, can I just clarify for the viewers? So you don't mean soul contract as in contract that you've made in other lifetimes. You literally mean the contract that we came
for this
to
lifetime.
Fulfill this lifetime.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell us, please, a little bit more before we get cut off.
Well, that is
I'm really interested in resilience. Yeah.
Yeah. This, all of the things that I do, they all tie together. And to me, it's complete mm-hmm. logic. Because if you don't know how you function and you keep finding that your energy is brought down or your health is brought down, despite the fact that you are yearning to reach your potential or to work out what you're here for, if you can't do that because you keep being swept off your feet, then it's going to be very frustrating, and eventually your desire to be here will be diminished.
So the soul contract, is that the human design?
No, they're both separate. So the soul contract illustrates the trajectory of the journey here, the purpose of that journey. The human design shows how your body, your vehicle, is going to function. So you need to know how it works, because we each
have... So you can really...
Yeah,
integrate both to have a bigger picture.
Yes. And then you add into that how the physical body is functioning, how you as an individual are functioning. And people have to learn some of this stuff for themselves, because you can't just take what someone else does, what works for them, and assume it's going to work for you.
Brilliant. Can we take some questions? I don't know where the hour went, but we're almost over. If anyone has a question about the soul, their path, their contract, Angela, how do you analyze the soul contract or assess it?
Normally, you would work it out manually, but that takes a while. So I have some software.
I meant, is it based on date of birth or is it based
on... No, it's based on the name.
The always, name also,
always
amazing.
The name. Always the name.
So the sound vibration is important.
Yes, you transpose the letters into numbers.
Oh, wow.
And this is why it's important with non-English names to get the phonetics right. I think because I listen carefully, I can work that out quite quickly. But with some languages that have a very different pronunciation, you really have to stop and think about
yes.
it. You know, like yours was not easy.
But, but so you did very well.
I listen to the sound. And you have to do it the way that your parents pronounced the name when you were born.
Yes.
Not the way
that
you
make my grandmother.
Yeah.
My grandmother walked in yelling, "Where is Sahar?" And my mom said, "Who's Sahar?" And she said, "Your daughter." So she's the one who named me, not even my parents.
Your
but
grandmother.
I like it. Yeah,
your grandmother was probably the psychic one.
Probably. I mean, they all are, the whole family. You know, they see things, they do things, they feel things. And it was just interesting. You know, my parents went like, "Oh, okay." But I like it. I always thought I fit it well.
Yeah.
And I know what you mean when you said the other day that some people don't look like their name.
Mm-hmm.
The whole vibration, not just the sound, you know. So sometimes, it feels. And I guess this is why we pick nicknames, you know, because we don't like our names or we don't like bits of our names.
Yes.
Some names sound too old when you're young, you know. Some names sound too young when you're old.
Yeah. You know how some Americans take on the name of the father?
Yes.
That means
the
that
third. And
yeah, they have chosen to carry that person's energies through another lifetime.
Oh, my word.
That is not a good idea.
So it isn't a good thing to name your children after your parents or your mother-in-laws.
No. And taking is not good either, because that dissipates.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's best to stick with your name?
Yes.
Well, unless you don't like it, I suppose.
Yeah, and if you don't like it, then start looking at what you do want and then adjusting that name to bring in energies that you would like to have. Mm. And this is possible. You know, it's not beyond the realms of ability these days.
Right. I mean, energy is always changing. What if you did not modify your name, but you modified or you approached everything else mindfully? Could that still raise your vibration to meet what you're meant to do in this lifetime?
To some degree. But if you have a name that's really giving you a hard time, then it can actually wear down your core energy.
Okay. So if it's a big issue, then it's worth looking into.
Yes.
How the modulating the name can help.
Yes. And for instance, there are a couple of energies that come over as being really intense. So that person would probably get worn down really quickly, or they simply agitate all the people around them. And I've seen people in a room like that, a room full of lots of people, and they have a space all around them. And it's so obvious.
Mm, that's amazing. A common thing that I hear from some clients is, I don't know what I was born to do.
Yes.
I don't know what my life calling is. How would you help someone like that, Angela?
I would do a full reading for them and go into it in some depth, because you can dig down and actually look at the main energies to work through and look perhaps in the family context, and you can see what they've chosen to come in to learn. And from that, they will know, but the soul then can get that expression out of, this is what you're here for. And when they hear the truth, they sigh a big sigh of relief. And it is so wonderful to see somebody here at their own.
Yeah, it is. I mean, first you could feel down and depressed. And then it's a big relief when you know, I have a purpose and this is what I need to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I deliver a reading that's really tough for somebody to take on board, you just have to gently lay it on them, let them go away for a few weeks, and then check in with them and say, how are you doing with this? But also, you ask them to keep replaying the recording, because again, it's hearing that truth. It takes a while to filter down. And then
it does.
They generally come back with more questions and perhaps look a bit further.
Yes, yes. It does, because sometimes I think you don't expect to hear, or you expect to hear something else. And then there isn't that alignment of what I really need to hear. Am I open to receive it?
Yeah.
But it comes later, as you say, as it trickles through, then suddenly the whole picture fits.
Yes.
I remember when I told you after my late husband died, I said, you know, I don't know what to do. It feels like I'm starting all over again. And you said something, I don't remember exactly, but you said, you're not starting back from square one. And it isn't the same thing again. It's on a different... And just saying that has helped me kind of think in a different way. And it helped me not even think. I was kind of like directed, you know, in a different way. So when Gaetano, you know, like literally pinched me out of my grief and he said, you're coming on a show, you're doing this. And I never thought I'll be doing that. I'm uncomfortable in front of a camera. And now I'm like, okay, I'm enjoying this. I'm having fun. I found that, you know, really helpful, and I'm so grateful to you, all the people who have helped me through what really is the toughest time of my life. So I can't thank you enough, Angela. Do you want to tell our viewers what your website is and how to get in touch with you?
Yeah, I tell you what, I'll write it on the post, shall I?
Yeah, please, and you can always come back and answer comments.
Yes.
Did I miss any questions? Because I was listening to what you're saying. So finding life purpose, if someone is totally confused as to what they were born to do, that would probably need Yes, that's here it is. So Angela's website is myinformedbeing.net.
Yes.
And it's all one word. Yes. And you're also on Instagram and also on LinkedIn. Do you work with corporations, business people?
I hope to get into that more. I'm looking for a couple of case studies to do with the business name.
Does the same thing apply, like the name of the company, and would you tweak it or?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. With my own business name, I remember spending a long time trying to arrive at this business name. But what happened was, because it was shortly after I'd optimized my name in order to break through a lot of the tough stuff I'd encountered in my early years, I needed to burn off that karmic energy because it was severely hampering my life. And so those energies that I'd changed my name to, they spilled over into my business name and they were actually putting people off. So it didn't matter.
Wow.
It didn't matter that I can do what I can do because those energies were conveyed into the business name. So I had to change my business name in February this year to optimize it.
Amazing.
So now people are much more open to making the connection with me because the energies are different.
Fantastic. Mm. The sound is still coming in and out, so forgive me.
That's
but
okay.
Let's say if we're talking about like a big company, like, you know, International Business Machines. Now, nobody says that. They just say IBM. So what would you take into consideration? Would you take International Business Machines or would you take IBM?
You would possibly look at both, but you have to look at who owns the business name. Now, if, for instance, if a company sells the business on, now you have to look at who was the originator of that business. And you would have to do basically the ceremony where you transfer that business energy onto other person or persons.
Oh, wonderful. Do you do such ceremonies?
I haven't done anything like that, but I know somebody who has.
That's amazing. Oh, wow. And does it work? I mean, does it help?
Yes. So if you'd sold a company and you didn't transfer the energy, that company would probably struggle unless, by pure chance, the people who bought the company aligned with its original energies.
I tell you why I'm also asking, because I noticed when I started giving, you know, readings and sessions to people, the first thing I would ask is your name, not even their second name, just the first name and their date of birth. And then that helps me to kind of find my coordinates. And I remember once or twice, I couldn't really pin, you know, down the person. Mm. And I just said, this doesn't make sense. And they said, like, oh, because I'm known as this. I don't use my official name. So since that day, I just sensed that if you're used to a certain name, if everyone knows you by that name, that becomes your main signature. But what you're saying is that underlying issues remain.
Well, yes. What was the age of that person that you read for?
In their 30s.
Right. Because as we go through life, the birth name will always form the biggest part of the energies. But as we get older, for instance, I'm, you know, getting on in years now. So I'm using...
No, you're not. Stop saying this. We are wise. 50 is the new thing. Or
We are wise.
We are wise. 30.
But,
of course.
the figure that I keep coming up with, it seems to be the optimum number. When you're around my age, we seem to be running about 38% of that birth name. And then you can run more of the energies of the current name. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. So the energy changes with time as well.
Yes.
So things can get better as you get older.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Ah, wonderful. Okay. Let's end things on a positive note. That's absolutely brilliant. Angela, it's not enough. I'm very glad that you came and I'm delighted that you've accepted to be here. And I look forward to hearing from the viewers. If you have any questions, text them. And I also welcome your comments when you watch the rebroadcast. And I'm very, very grateful to you, Angela. And I hope you'll come on the show again sometime in the future.
Thank you. I'd love to.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Take care. Bye-bye. Okay. Thank you, everyone.